with you this evening. I want to welcome each and every one of you here. I'm thankful for your presence, and as I look out this evening, it is so encouraging to see Ryan here. Ryan, it's great to see you here this evening. Earlier today, I had a thought, and that thought was provoked by something that Rick had said. Rick always says, let's get in the same boat. And he means this whenever we're studying with someone for the first time or someone who we're studying with to try to become a Christian. We want to get in the same boat. We want to start back to the basics. We don't want to get into confrontation with them over, say, musical instruments or just fill in the blank. We want to start back and go back to the basics of understanding that Christ came here to save us and start there. And so this was, let's back up a couple days. Friday afternoon, Kyle and I were leaving to go to Lubbock for our anniversary trip. And it wasn't 5 minutes into this drive down to Lubbock, she was saying, watch out for this car. Stop. Don't go there. And the whole weekend, it was just something else. Don't worry, I got approval to tell the story. Saying, Zach, how does this even apply? Well, today I had this epiphany. We were driving around, and I'm like, we need to be in the same boat. So I turned to her, and I said, don't you know we have the same goal? And she said, what do you mean? I said, I'm not trying to get us in a wreck. Whether you're driving or I'm driving, I'm not trying to get us in a wreck here. We have the same goal. So since then, she's been pretty good. I know that no other guy has this problem. It's just me. That has absolutely nothing to do with the lesson tonight. That was free, pure entertainment to get us started. If you would, I would invite you, if you have a Bible this evening, I think it is so important for us to open up God's Word. I would invite you to open with me to the book of Hebrews. Our main text that we'll try to be focused on this evening will come from Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse number 1. This will be the main text for this evening. As we turn our minds and attention to these spiritual matters, I'd like us to consider one question this evening. And the question is, does God consider us faithful? Now, within this question, I'm not trying to put us in God's position by any means. That's not the point of this lesson. We will make a few comments here in a couple minutes about this. But the thrust of this lesson is we can know by the standard if we are faithful in the sight of God's eyes. So again, the thrust, the theme of this lesson is not for us to be putting ourselves in God's position, but for us to merely look, because we have His Word, we have the standard, would God consider us faithful? I'd like us to consider a few men throughout biblical history. Go back to Adam. Adam was a man. We know that he fell short of the glory of God. It was not faithful in all things. And because of that, we see a consequence. He was one that tried to cover himself or hide himself from God. We see this theme of when the people become unfaithful, they try to hide themselves from God, which we know that it is not possible for us to hide from God. If we look at Jonah, the character of Jonah, what God had put on his heart to do, he ended up going the total opposite way, to go away from where God had commanded him. He wanted him to go to Nineveh, and he ended up going to Tarsus. And because of that, Jonah put himself in a place where he was unfaithful to God, and there was a consequence for that. We could also look at the life of Solomon, the things that he filled his life with later in life. Because of his wives, he turned his heart away from God. We can look at the things, digging deeper into his life, things that he tried to fill his life with, the physical things. He tried to build things. He tried to fill himself with knowledge. And all that just filled him with more emptiness. And then at the very end, he says that the two things that are important is to fear God and keep His commandments. We could also look at the life of David. We know that he was a faithful follower of God, but he had his shortcomings. And whenever he did, he had that time in his life when he repented of that. So the point of looking at these characters, and we can't go in depth this evening, but the point of all that is we knew at one point in time where these men stood. We do know the shortcomings that they had, and then we do know if they course corrected to remain faithful. We see in some instances that these men fled from the presence of God, fled from what they were called to do in their duty, and there are consequences of that. In the same way, we can look and examine ourselves and know if God would consider us faithful. An underlying theme tonight that I would like to try to drive home, and it's more one that I want to apply personally, is we can go through and examine our lives. And we not, when we look into the physical world, and I promise we're going to get to Scripture here in just a minute, when we look at the physical world, whether it's a job or a crop, we know that our bosses, the ones that are above us, they evaluate how we're doing within our jobs. There could be promotions or things that go on with those examinations or how they perceive us. We also know, looking at a crop, whenever we plant a crop, there's things that we have to evaluate. How are we going to make sure this crop will make it through the summer? We have to line ourselves to make sure that crop makes it. The point being, there's constant evaluations that are going on around us. And then how often do we truly evaluate our spiritual lives? Looking at, turning to our text here in Hebrews as we begin to try to dive deeper into this. Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse number 1. It says, "Therefore, since we have such a great cloud of witnesses surrounding us, let us also lay aside every encumbrance and the sin which so easily entangles us, and let us run with the endurance the race that is set before us, fixing our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who has endured such hostility by the sinners against himself, so that you will not grow weary and lose heart." As we begin to take this and start to meditate upon God's Word, we need to truly ask ourselves, are we faithful to God? Are we doing everything that is within our possibility to do those things? We understand reading here that we know what it takes, we know where we're going, but that does take evaluation along the way. If we turn back to Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1, we could define faith. So what does it take for one to be faithful? What does faith really, truly mean? When we look at this, we don't have the time to say this in depth, but just to give us a brief idea, Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 1, "Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, and the conviction of things that are not seen." And then drop down to verse number 6. "And without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him." I think there is a correlation between the faith and belief that we have in God and then our obedience throughout our entire lives to him. That faith is linked to obedience. And then in 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 7, how is it that we can truly continue on in this? And it's answered for us here. 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 7, "But if we walk in the light as he himself is in the light, we will have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus his Son cleanses us from all sin." It just simply explains how we are to live that faithful life. So I hope with this brief introduction gets our minds thinking about how is it that we are faithful, and if we were in that position, does God consider us faithful to him? So point number one, we'll have five brief points. I promise to keep them short, and I'm watching the clock. Point number one, if we look back at the history of God's people, which we have briefly mentioned before, we can look at the successfulness of those people, their attitudes. We know that they continually evaluated their life. If we turn back to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, 1 Corinthians chapter 9, starting in verse number 23. Think about the history of God's people. How do they conduct themselves? Starting in verse 23. This is Paul talking to the church there in Corinth. It says, I do all things for the sake of the gospel, that I may become a fellow partaker of it. Do you not know that those who run the race run all, but only the one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things, and they do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore I run in such a way, not without aim. I box in such a way, not as beating the air, but I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that I, after I have preached to others, I myself may not be disqualified. We think about what does it truly take to remain faithful. I think these are all things that we could look at to apply to our lives. Whenever we look at the race that we're running, are we truly running the race to win? When we look at it, we can make sports analogies of the sacrifices that it took certain individuals or certain teams to win that trophy at the end of the year. There were things that went on during that season, the workouts, the intensity, the time that they spent within study of whichever sports you want to take, whether that's football or basketball or any of those things. The evaluations that took place during the season. We know that as we look at coaches, they evaluate players and say, you need to get better in this area, in this area. And if that team makes those correct evaluations, then at the very end of the season, they can win that trophy. It's those teams who do not evaluate, who do not get better, are the ones that truly fall short. So are we doing the same thing about that in a spiritual sense? Are we truly evaluating ourselves? And when we do evaluate ourselves, we know the standard by which we ought to do so is found within Scripture. There's by no other standard that we can truly hold ourselves to. And then 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 7. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse number 7. It says, for we walk by faith and not by sight. When we're faced with those decisions, when we're faced with evaluating ourselves, when those tough decisions come before us, how is it that we answer those? Do we answer those and say, I'm going to truly be faithful and continue to press on? Or do we become weak and kind of step back for a little bit? When we look at the history of God's people, we can note certain ones who pressed on to the goal. They were not just observers, but they were active doers. They were active in their service, they were actively evaluating themselves. In the same way, I think that we too, me, myself, maybe being the most, but are we truly evaluating our lives? And again, we won't go into how often we ought to do so, but are we at some point evaluating where we're at and truly putting a goal for us to get to? Point number two. Do we address the spiritual issues, or do we ignore or tolerate them? If we turn over to James chapter 1, starting in verse number 2, we'll try to develop this for the second point. James chapter 1, starting in verse number 2. It says, consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces endurance, and endurance have its perfect results, so that you may be perfect and complete and lacking in nothing. Dropping down to verse number 12, blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, for once he has been approved, he will receive the crown of life, which is the Lord has promised to those who love Him. And then verse number 21, therefore, putting aside all filthiness and all remains of wickedness and humility, receive the Word which is implanted, which is able to save your souls. And these things that we're talking about this evening, it's so that we can strive to encourage one another to be better. It's not bringing anyone down. That's not the point, I hope, this evening. It's so that we can build each other up, so we can become stronger individually. Because a stronger individual, then we know that we will be a strong congregation. So when we think about what is our mentality when those choices and decisions arise, do we make those strong and firm stands, or do we cower back? In Hebrews chapter 12, in verse number 4, we can truly say what it takes when we're faced with these decisions. What does it take to remain faithful, to have that zeal after Christ? In Hebrews chapter 12, starting in verse number 4, it says, "You have not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood, and you're striving against sin. You have forgotten the exhortation which is addressed to you as sons. My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord, nor faint when you are approved by Him. For those whom the Lord loves, He disciplines, and He scourges every son whom He receives." When we think about these issues that we're faced with, and think about how God deals with that through His Word, discipline is a loving action because He wants us to serve Him better. The world that we live in today thinks discipline as a negative issue, when truly it is a positive thing that can happen for us. In the same sense, in our spiritual life, whenever we are disciplined by the Word of God, it makes us stronger, it makes us more faithful. And then in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and verse number 33. First Corinthians 15 and verse 33 says, "Do not be deceived. Bad company corrupts good morals." When we think about spiritual issues that arise, you know, we've been going through a study of the churches in Revelation. We've read about how they permitted things, how they tolerated things. In the same sense, are we doing the same thing with the spiritual issues that they begin to creep into our lives, maybe through friendships or through acquaintances? Are we, when we think about addressing the spiritual issues, are we truly doing so from a faithful servant of God's perspective? And then point number 3, do we truly endure the challenges to the end? If we turn over to Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse number 10. Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse number 10, about enduring the challenges, completing the race. Think about back to that sports analogy. If a team is in the middle of a season and they give up on that dream of being the champions, of winning that at the very end, if they give up on that dream, then truly that they have given up on the hope of that. In the same way, do when we're faced with things within our life, do we sometimes give up on that hope that we have? But in Philippians chapter 3, starting in verse number 10, it says, "So that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, the fellowship of His sufferings, being conformed to His death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay a hold of that for which also I laid a hold of by Jesus Christ." When we think about maybe things that have shaped our spiritual life or things of that nature, do we truly remember to press on to the goal? Have those things shaped us into becoming stronger followers of God, or have we let them bring us back a notch, if you will? When we think about being faithful and during those challenges, it's during those times that we need to be the strongest, that we need to be able to lean upon others and gain that strength and encouragement. When we look at the life of Saul in Acts chapter 9, he had a life-defining moment. I know that's different than what we have today. But from that point on, he chose to serve God. Now again, I'm not trying to correlate that to anything that happens within our life, but whenever we're faced with things, do we truly strive to press on after serving God, or do we let that negatively affect our spiritual life? Do we endure the challenges to remain faithful? And then point number 4, the fellowship, the discipleship that we're supposed to have of following Jesus. We read about this in 1 John chapter 1, starting in verse number 1. 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 1. Was it from the beginning that we have heard, that what we have seen with our eyes, that we have looked and touched with our hands concerning the word of life? That life was manifest, and that we have seen and testify and proclaim you to eternal life, which was with the Father and manifested to us. What we have seen and have heard, we proclaim to you, so that you too may have fellowship with us. And indeed, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things we write so that our joy may be made complete. We think about our fellowship, not only one with another, but our fellowship with God. Does it truly look like this that we read about here? Is it based upon the sacrifice of Christ, what He has done for us? And does it continue on throughout our life, keeping us faithful to Him? And then in 1 Peter chapter 1, just a few pages back, 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse number 12, says, "It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you in these things, which have now been announced to you through those who preach the gospel that you by His Holy Spirit sent from heaven, the things unto which angels to look." I think I was off probably on that passage, but the idea being, are we reminded of these things continually? Do we continue to be in God's Word? And here we have the church which was set up of members of the body of Christ to help keep us accountable, to help us make those evaluations. Are we maintaining that fellowship that we're called to have? Are we continuing to follow Jesus? And then point number 5, our final and last point this evening. Within our faithful life to God, do we have that hope and that love for heaven? If we turn to Hebrews chapter 3. Hebrews chapter 3, starting in verse number 12. As we read through this, let us remember that we're not a people that wants to fall into unbelief or unfaithfulness. We want to strive, want to be able to push on to be able to enter into heaven. Hebrews 3, starting verse 12. "Take care, brethren, there not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. But encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. While it is said, today if you hear His voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me. For who provoked Him when they had heard indeed? Did not all those who came out of Egypt, led by Moses, and with whom He was angry for 40 years, was it not with those who sinned, whose bodies fell in the wilderness, and to whom He did not swear that they would not enter His rest, but those who were disobedient? So we see that they were not able to enter because of unbelief. Therefore let us fear, if while we have a promise that remains of entering His rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. When we look at this passage of Scripture that talks about those who did not enter into the promised land because of their attitude towards Christ, because of their unfaithfulness, we too might get caught in that same position where we're not able to enter into heaven at some point in time. And so this is just a warning for us to not fall into that same line of unbelief. Let us press on. Let us be a people who are faithful and who remain within those ways. Romans chapter 8 and verse number 18. In Romans chapter 8, starting in verse number 18, "For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not to be worthy to be compared with the glory that is to be revealed to us." What a sight of hope, a glimpse of what it could be like that we see here. If we can truly strive on, if we can press on, if we can remain faithful to God, we have something that is there in heaven that we cannot comprehend. So let us continue to push on. Let us continue to evaluate where we are within our lives so that we can be seen as faithful in the sight of God. And then I would like to end this evening where we started. So in 1 John chapter 1. In 1 John chapter 1. In verse number 7, and this is kind of where we started this evening, but as we conclude, let us consider these points. The history of God's people, number 1, do we address the spiritual issues as we're called to? Do we endure the challenges to remain faithful? Do we continue in that fellowship that we enjoy? And do we have the zeal and the love of the hope of heaven? I think in 1 John chapter 1 and verse number 7 sums it up in a very wonderful way. "But if we walk in the light as He Himself is in the light, we will have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, cleanses us from all sin." It's so simply put, although at times it can be so difficult for us to make those decisions each and every day. But let us press on to the goal. Let us take encouragement this evening is what I hope. I do appreciate your time this evening. I sure hope that it has been of an encouragement to you. If we do have any here this evening that want to begin their faithful walk with God, to put on Christ in baptism and to start that wonderful and joyous life, we ask that you would come and as we sing, or if you have any needs, we ask that you would come forward at this time.